In this session, we continue the history of marriage ministry by looking at Jesus, the apostles, and the early church. The New Testament does not erase the Old Testament view of marriage. It fulfills, clarifies, and deepens it under Christ. Jesus himself returns to creation when teaching about marriage. In Matthew 19:4, 6 web, Jesus says, "Haven't you read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So that they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, don't let man tear apart." That is one of the most important passages for wedding ministers. Jesus teaches that marriage is rooted in God's creation, male and female, leaving and joining, one flesh and God's own joining. Marriage is not merely a private lifestyle choice. It is covenant life under God. Jesus also honors a wedding by attending one in John 2:11 WB. At Cana, Jesus performs his first sign at a wedding feast. This does not mean every wedding must be elaborate, but it does show that marriage celebration is not outside the concern of Christ. Jesus enters the joy of a wedding and reveals his glory there. The Apostle Paul gives practical and theological instruction about marriage. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul addresses marriage, singleness, sexual faithfulness, mutual responsibility, separation, and difficult household situations. This helps wedding ministers remember that real marriages involve real questions. Marriage ministry must be biblical, practical, and honest. In Ephesians 5:21 to 33 WEB, Paul places marriage under Christ. He begins with mutual reverence, subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Then he calls husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. This means Christian marriage is not domination. Biblical masculinity is not harsh control. Biblical femininity is not fearful silence. Both bride and groom are called to covenant faithfulness under Christ. Colossians 3:12-14 WEB gives a beautiful picture of the virtues needed in marriage: a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, humility, and perseverance, along with forgiveness and love. These are not merely church virtues, they are marriage virtues. The early church inherited this biblical vision and lived it in a world where marriage customs were shaped by Roman law, family arrangements, household economics, and social expectations. Christians did not always have political power over marriage systems, but they did bear witness. They taught fidelity. They honored sexual holiness. They cared about household discipleship. They treated marriage as part of Christian formation. Early Christian teachers, such as John Chrysostom, preached about marriage as a place of spiritual formation, mutual responsibility, and household faith. Augustine reflected deeply on marriage, faithfulness, children, and covenant. The early church did not treat marriage as merely sentimental. Marriage was connected to discipleship, worship, morality, family, and public Christian witness. For today's wedding minister, this history matters. When you stand before a bride and groom, you are not inventing something new. You are serving within the long witness of Jesus, the apostles, and the early church. The bride and groom are embodied souls before God. Their vows matter. Their bodies matter. Their household matters. Their church connection matters. Their future discipleship matters. A wedding officiant leads the ceremony. A wedding minister serves the covenant. And in the New Testament and early church, that covenant is brought under the lordship, grace, holiness, and love of Jesus Christ.